Joining us now on Front and Center is Kevin O'Driscoll of RY Business Group. And Kevin, welcome to Front and Center.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it.
First, as an overview, Kevin, how about explaining to our audience what RY Business Group is all about?
RY Business Group is an independent business coaching firm, and it was birthed out of my old consulting company. I used to have an IT consulting company, and I had more and more small business owners needing more than just technology help. My background being in technology and then going through the ranks in corporate of both PepsiCo as well as IBM, I got more involved in the business side and the interface between technology and business. And I kept on having small business owners saying to me, I need to reinvent my business, need to reinvent it as the downturn of the economy happened. And so at that point, I changed the name of my company to RY, which is really reinvent yourself. And helping small businesses to be business owners to become better business owners by looking at their business holistically, looking at the different areas where strategies are put in place to help them to be able to build an asset as well as become more profitable.
So essentially, this had its genesis then when the economy took that downturn.
It did. It rebirthed itself or reinvented itself from a consulting business where I would hand the business owner a fish and fix their problem to a coaching business where I teach them how to fish and become better business owners.
How much does the changing of technology, and it seems to be changing by the nanosecond, as you know, how much does that factor into a business attempting to reinvent itself?
In many ways, I would say that what I see, most small business owners are concerned about cash flow and concerned about figuring out ways to get more people walking through their door. They look at different technologies as a way to do that. Of course, we always talk about social media and their systems for social media and marketing. And I help them to a point on that area. When I say to a point is I've kind of stepped away from the technology side, but I have resources that I then use as affiliate partners of mine or trusted partners of mine that I will point them to. Because today, in order to get out in front of people as many times as you need to, for a small business owner to compete with the larger big box stores or larger firms, they really need to be in front of their customers. And the easiest and least expensive way is to use social media, but use it correctly. And so being able to help them with the transition is one piece of what I do.
Okay, you mentioned using social media correctly. Give us one example of how a business should use social media correctly.
Well, the best way to describe it is they need to have a conversation. They need to talk on their social media like they would in person. Let's say people join Twitter and somebody follows them. Reach out to that person who followed you and say, hey, thanks for following me, and learn a little bit about what they do. Because some people just follow to follow, but there's a way to build your brand and your business through your following as long as you treat them like a human being and not just something on the screen.
So, in other words, because as you know, there's a lot of automated services out there which you can use to post items on Facebook or Twitter, let's say. You shouldn't necessarily use those. You should be more personal on Twitter or Facebook.
Well, I think it's always personal because you have to look at social media as a tool. It is akin to, you know, you can use a hammer. Let's say you can use a screwdriver or you can use a drill. You can use a hammer or you can use a jackhammer. What's going to expedite your process better? It is a tool like any other tool in business that has to be used correctly. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Because we've all been in our bedroom, in our living room, hanging something and using your screwdriver as a hammer, and we know that doesn't work well, right? Same thing with social media. It is a tool for your business that you need to use correctly. So you need guidance, you need help, and you need to be yourself. You can't just, you know, automate everything, because people do business with people they know, like, and trust. If they don't get to know you, they'll never get to like you in real life, like you, and thus never trust you. So you will not get a client or a new person to walk through your door.
By the way, this is one of the areas where RIY Business can help, because among the tools you offer is a social media handbook, right?
We do. We offer a lot of free stuff on our site for people to understand better. And what I do is I go out to resources who are experts in their field and gather information so that I can provide people information so they can be better business owners. They have resources out there, and I even had to reinvent myself, because when I first joined or started this business and started joining things like chambers and BNIs and different leads groups and networking opportunities, I had a model of one-to-one coaching, and a lot of small business owners couldn't afford what I charge to meet with them on a weekly basis. So what I had to do was really take my brain, work with a company who has a framework, and then, created RIYBusinessGroup.net, which is my online coaching portal, which allows small business owners to get access to my brain 24/7, 365 at a tenth of the cost as what it would cost to meet me one-to-one. So it provides a small guy a pathway into business coaching and a way to build their business around their very hectic schedule that we all have as business owners. So whether they're morning people like my wife or evening people like me, where you're crisper at that time of day, you can take advantage of the online education and training that is provided for you.
Our guest is Kevin O'Driscoll of RY Business Group on Front and Center. My name is Dan Lovallo. You offer so many services. Let's review some of them, beginning with the 45-minute business turnaround. What's that all about?
Well, really what I do is I like to get in. Most small business owners, again, I say, are struggling with cash flow, and they don't know why. They think that they need to spend a lot of money on marketing in order to get people in their door. But really, a lot of times there's money leaks in their business, where they need to figure out what's happening and why don't I have the cash flow I think I do. What I like to do is sit down, and for 45 minutes, I look through the different pieces of their business, whether it be their marketing, whether it be their cash flow, whether it be their financials, and see what I can do to help them. Typically, what I'm able to do is, in a 45-minute business turnaround, find an additional $10,000 of cash coming in their business. Okay, so they just increased their cash for the year by $10,000 by some simple strategies that I implement and look at in their business, what they're doing wrong. So it's one of those offers I have, and it's a segue into their business and see if I can help them.
You also offer a sales and marketing audit. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. A lot of people, if you look at the newspaper ads, I was just looking at a newspaper this morning, and every single ad has, you know, company name, what they do, how long they've been in business, you know, were family owned and operated, in business since, you know, before, you know, the earth was cooled. And, you know, we're trusted. These are the things that should be there. And I like to look at their ads and their marketing strategy and what they're saying to their customers. And you'll realize that most of what they're saying in their ads and their marketing pieces do not focus on what the customer needs are, but really what their offering is. Because if they looked at their ad and they would just say, so what, to all those simple things that they state, because you've been in business since 1942, so what? Does that mean you're going to do a good job for me? No. It just means that you're in business since 1942. Okay, you're family owned and operated, and while that sounds kind of cozy, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at what you do. So really what I do is I look at their ads and show them how to restructure them, how to do some different things, understand where they're spending their dollars and how they can spend their dollars better. Most small businesses throw money against a marketing campaign and hope it works. And they never do any kind of audit as to what is the return on their investment. They don't put little codes. They don't, you know, they think that if they ask somebody when they come in the door, where did you hear about us, that the people are really going to remember. And
so,
they don't.
Essentially, what you're saying is, and obviously generations change too, but to today's generation, being around since 1942 or being family-owned all these years doesn't necessarily resonate from a message standpoint.
It doesn't, because, and the reason it doesn't resonate is because if you look at all the ads for the people in your industry, your competitors, they're all saying the same thing. So what happens is they get us as a consumer, the only differentiating factor between you, who might be really great at what you do, and me, who might not be great at what I do, is the price. So small businesses are getting beat up on price. They're not able to make the profitability they should because the only comparative factor is price. And because I don't do as good a job as you, Dan, I'm able to charge a little less because I'm not paying my folks as much, maybe. And so the small business owner is getting killed by their own ads.
Right. Talking with Kevin O'Driscoll here on Front and Center, and we're reviewing some of the services offered by RIY Business Group. What about group coaching? Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I work with some companies, and what they try to do, they build teams, okay, a team of people who work together, but sometimes don't necessarily see eye to eye, or don't necessarily see the same picture of a problem. So that's one avenue. Well, I'll work with a team of people within a company and help them to, and kind of coach them all at the same time on maybe some of the different personality problems they're having with each other, maybe some of the strategies they're working on and how to make them better. The other thing I do is I will get a group of businessmen or women together and in a team, okay, in setting, and be able to work with them and teach them what they, it's almost like a mastermind group is what I do in that case, where I'm going to facilitate this organization, this team, to help each other and understand, hey, you know what? There's best practices that can be utilized across everybody. And if different business people have had issues, they might be able to help each other. And I do a lot of facilitating of those kind of things also.
You offer a mastermind groups. Describe what mastermind groups are all about.
Sure. A mastermind group is a gathering of professionals who, what best way can I describe it? So they're all business owners. Okay, so I'm a business owner, you're a business owner. We have three or four other people in there who commit to meeting on a weekly basis. And each week we take a turn with one of the business owners and they describe a problem that they're having in their business. So let's say, again, we'll use the simple one of cash flow, okay? Those other business people have had similar issues, similar problems. And what we do, excuse me, is each week we focus on one of the business owners and have the other ones help. Say, hey, you know, I've had a cash flow problem too. What happened was I was extending my credit, but my creditors weren't extending me. So I was paying on time, but I was letting people who bought from me pay in 60 days. So now all of a sudden I'm funding two different businesses. I'm funding my creditors' business and I'm funding the people who buy from me business. So they share their experience and how they fix that problem. And then we round table it and then come back the following week at the beginning, check your progress, that person's progress, and then go to the next business owner and help them with an issue they might be having. And we take turns throughout the month going around week to week.
Are these mastermind groups conducted online? What form do you use?
Typically, what we do is we get into a setting, a business setting. We might rent a room at a hotel, you know, like a conference room on a weekly basis. We might, if somebody has an office space, a conference room at their office space, we might go and use their office space each week. So it's variable.
Mm-hmm. Why should people have a business coach, Kevin?
Well, you think about it. Let's relate it to sports. I mean, some of the best players in the world have had specific coaches, both business as well as their own trainers. Okay. Michael Jordan had a specific coach outside of his basketball coach. Okay. Most golfers have coaches. Okay. Business people don't have anybody to lean on, to bounce stuff off of. Most small business owners are fighting this battle by themselves, and they don't know if they're winning the war. What a business coach does is become a trusted advisor, becomes a person who can look at their business from an outside perspective and give them honest feedback, as well as work with them on specific areas of their strategies. Okay, whether it be how do you hire the right people? How do you, you know, talk about your finances? Talk about customer service, sales, marketing, and the development of systems in their business. Most small businesses don't have systems. What business coaches are able to do is come in, help them implement the systems so that they can actually build an asset, the business owner can build an asset, and not necessarily be there all the time and have their business fully dependent on their ability to perform in order for it to be successful.
Talking with Kevin O'Driscoll on Front and Center, and Kevin owns RIY Business Group. And Kevin, I went online to your website and I read what the mission of RIY Business Group is, and you can help the small business owner get more customers, serve those customers better, maximize profits, hire, train, motivate good employees, systemizing the business, managing your financial position. Give us an overview on all of that.
Each one of those areas has specific strategies. Because when I talk to business owners, let's say, about marketing, I always talk to them about striving to have 10 different strategies for marketing. Networking is a simple strategy. A social media strategy is another strategy that they use. Okay. There's direct mail is another strategy. Okay. There is many different strategies that work differently for different industries. Okay, and trying to implement those. Okay, when you talk about customer service, how does your customer and how do your employees represent yourself when the customer calls? How do they represent when they leave your building and somebody mentions your company? How do they react? Okay, just because they stop working and they're off the payroll doesn't mean they shouldn't represent you properly. How do you train that? How do you teach that? Human resources. How do you hire the right people, train them properly, retain them, and acknowledge them? Because most people will work, old men die for it and babies cry for it, and that's recognition. How do you recognize a good employee? How do you say thank you? It doesn't have to be monetarily wise. Sure, that's nice, but it's forgotten pretty fast when you give them money. They'll go buy something. But you thank them in front of their peers, that's remembered for a very long time. Profitability, again, it goes back to your financial position. How do you recognize profit? How do you increase your profits? How do you do different things so that you're increasing? And most small business owners don't charge enough for what they do, okay, because of what we've talked about before. There's this differentiating factor of cost when it comes to doing everything from landscaping to dentistry. Okay, if I charge too much, they're going to hire somebody else. Those are some of the things that I work with on people. Okay, the systems that you talked about, the systemization of your business. What happens if something happens to you today? You don't die. but you're not able to perform knee surgery. You're not able to go and open your business. How does that business run? How does your cash flow get impacted by something like that? By implementing systems, you're able to have a business run without you being there. That's why franchises are so successful, but also why they're so expensive. It's because they have these systems in place, and the better systems they have, the more the franchise costs. Duplicate those kind of things in your business so that you can be successful and walk away with an asset. All those different strategies is what we put in place at RIY. How do you increase the foot traffic? How do you increase customers? We have many ways to do that through sales and marketing, strategies that we implement. But also for the small business owner, there's a whole library of different things on our RIYBusinessGroup.net site that allows you to get in there and see everything from cash flow increases to SEO stuff to already made for you marketing materials, ads, all the things that you can take, tweak a little bit, put your name on it, change a couple of things on it, and you send it to your printer and use it. Okay, these things are already in place, and we've done it for you.
Okay, this is all very fascinating indeed. We're coming up on a break. We've got Fox News at the bottom of the hour, and then when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Kevin O'Driscoll of RYBusinessGroup.com. News is next, and then we're back. Stay tuned. And welcome back to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo, and our guest, Kevin O'Driscoll. He was with us in the first half of the program, and we're happy to have Kevin for the second half as well. Kevin is the owner of RIY Business Group. And Kevin, before the break, we were talking about the mission of RIY Business Group, and you touched upon a couple of things which certainly piqued my interest, and one of them was that small business owners don't necessarily charge enough. And immediately that clicked with me because we see, for example, the success of Apple and Apple products and how they charge a premium price. And we see, in fact, that the public will go for those products which are priced higher because the public will pay a premium price if they believe they're getting a premium service. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you hit it right on the head. I mean, how many people thought when Starbucks opened that you would be paying $5, $6 for a cup of coffee with a really cool name and a couple of extra little things like foam or no foam, being able to just be specialized? They sat there and they raised the mark of coffee. They totally changed the industry. Okay. Apple took, I can't say by storm because they fought through. They almost, they had a really downturn for a little while. But really what they sell is a value proposition. Okay. People will pay for good products. They will pay a good price for good products. Okay. But what they want is a value from that. Small business owners are not sharing that value in their marketing and sales pieces. They're just what they're trying to do is they're trying to capture another person come in the door so I can make a sale. But what happens is they don't get the repeat business, or they're not making enough profit to really enjoy their lives, which is why they got in business in the first place. They got in business because they wanted to be independent. They wanted to shave the face of the boss, or shave the legs of the boss, which is depending on male or female, right? And they wanted to be able to control their own destiny and their own income. The problem is they're not controlling their own income because they're not selling their product at a cost-effective number to give them the profitability they should have.
Another thing you talked about was helping employees and small businesses training employees, and that when an employee leaves the business for the day, they might be off the job, but in a sense, they're still representing the company. And isn't that where social media comes in and what an employee posts on social media?
Oh, sure. I mean, that has come to the forefront because many companies, as part of their interview process, are checking your social media sites to kind of understand really what your lifestyle is. Really, what do you do when you're outside of the office? Because they're trying, every company, no matter what size it is protecting their brand because they spend a lot of money building that brand. And if all of a sudden you're out there and you say, I work for XYZ company, and you're doing beer stands at and taking pictures of it and posting it on social media, it doesn't quite represent perhaps the face of that company the way that company wants it to. That is, but just say you're out in an event, and just the way you talk to your kid, just the way, you know, you're at a soccer game and you're really not the best mouthed person out there, okay? And you're yelling and you're screaming at the umpires or whatever you're doing, and you have XYZ company on your shirt. Is that how that company wants you representing them? Because they're kind of going, geez, that guy works for them? What a knucklehead, right? So us training them and being aware of those kind of things is critical in the business success and the brand success.
And for a prospective employee, that person also should be watching, even if they don't have the job yet or they're looking for another job. I'm guessing they'd also should be watching what they post on social media, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I do work with them, we used to run a job search group out of my church. And one of the things we teach them is, hey, you know what, you have to represent yourself well because everybody's watching. And the world has become very, very small because it doesn't matter where you are. If you're on things such as Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, you have people that are following you or looking at you from all over the world. Okay? And you don't know who that person is just because they could be the CEO of the next company you work for, and they just happen to be following you because you have similar interests. And or you're following them and they're seeing some of the stuff you're posting, and that can be bad for your reputation and your career.
So obviously people need to remember what they post on social media, because as you mentioned, it's constantly being watched, and it could be watched by, as you say, that next employer. So people need to keep that in mind, that's for sure. We're in the 21st century. It goes back to the technology we were talking about earlier, Kevin.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
Okay. Kevin O'Driscoll is our guest on Front and Center, owner of RY Business Group, and we have a few more questions for Kevin. Kevin, there are two websites, riybusinessgroup.com and riybusinessgroup.net. What are the differences?
Great question. riybusinessgroup.com was the first company that I started, which was my business coaching firm. And really what I do is one-to-one business coaching with the business owner, whether I meet them once a month as we're closing out our time together and just kind of doing some accountability, some checkup. Twice a month as we start to wind down, where we're meeting less often and really just making sure that everything's in place, doing some more accountability and less implementation, stuff like that. And then four times a month, we're meeting every week, and we're really diving down into the nitty-gritty of the business. And my relationship with my clients typically go for about 12 months. I've had some that last less and some that last more. What I found, as I mentioned earlier, when I joined chambers and B&Is and networking groups, I met a lot of small business owners who I became friends with and said, Kevin, I really need your help, but I can't afford you. And it frustrated me because not only was I leaving money on the table, but I wasn't able to help my friends. And I was always taught, do not give away free consulting. So how did I work around that? I spoke to some of my friends in the social media world and the internet world, and they said, you need to sell your knowledge. And I didn't know how to do that. So I found a gentleman and I worked with them, and they built a framework that I was able to put my knowledge as well as some best practice knowledge available for the small business owners, the micro business owner, the person who's under $1 million in sales or $2 million in revenue, right? And they're able to get access to all this scheduled learning. And what that means is, as you get onto that site, not only will I give you the first month for only a dollar, you have full access to my brain, full access to the site, but what you're going to get in the first month is 9 different video trainings that are going to focus on cash flow for a small business owner. That's critical. After that, they are going to get full access to that for only $97 a month. They can get, for less than $100, so let me go back to the Starbucks, that's less than what they spend in Starbucks every month, okay? They're going to be able to get full access to My Brain, a full coaching site, which is on a weekly basis going to provide them a scheduled video training. And what that means is you're going to build your foundation for your business before you start building the steeple on the house. So we're going to go through baby steps and go through it. And over a year, they're going to be able to go from how to start the vision for their business all the way down to building systems to create a $1 million business and everything in between. 24/7, 365 access, as well as access to a weekly coaching call, a group coaching call, where they're going to be able to listen to experts in the field that we bring in to help them and teach them about different areas of their business.
Great, great stuff. It really is. Now, you said you worked in the corporate world. What experience did you gain by working in the corporate world?
Well, what was really great is, as I mentioned, I was a technology guy. I really, initially, you could put me in a room, slide food under the door, and I could work on systems all night and all day. It wouldn't bother me. What I learned coming out of the corporate world was I learned that fixing bigger problems, you can make more money. So I started getting trained from Dale Carnegie courses to, you know, speaking courses to different training that I still continue to take these days, where I am able to interact with people better. I moved from technology to the interface between technology and business when I was at Pepsi, because I understood both sides very well. Then when I moved over to IBM, I managed their outsourcing contracts. So that what that meant was IBM was able to help, let's say, a company like Pepsi. Well, they would do certain pieces of their business for them at a lower cost. And I was responsible for running all those, taking care of all those resources. So I had to take care of the financials. I had to take care of the human resources piece of it. I had to take care of all the different aspects of delivery of IBM's promises. In doing so, I had to get additional training. As well as during that time, I was running an IT consulting firm. So I was working about 90 hours a week at that point and really being good at what I did, but not turning my phone off for 10 years straight and getting calls all hours of the night. So my experience was that's not something people want to do necessarily, but it was my choice at that time. Through those experiences in corporate America, I understood a whole lot of different pieces of business that I didn't know about. Just owning a small business of my own. That and then going out for training as a business coach, combined with all the knowledge I learned from corporate America, put me in a position to be able to help a lot of different size companies doing what I do.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to the training in just a moment, but corporate America seems to be getting a lot of criticism these days. Is that justified or not?
Well, you know what? It's a business. And while I was sold from Pepsi to IBM in an outsourcing deal, I understood it was business. I loved where I worked. I moved to where I had to move, which gave me some benefits. I worked out of my home. I raised my daughter, you know? My wife worked out of the home, and I worked at home with my office. So there were some real benefits. They're looking at bottom lines is what they're looking at. They're a business just like anybody else. Sometimes they do stuff for the bottom line or the shareholder, which affects people like me or as employees. Could they do things better? Yeah, sure. You know, could we have more onshore resources than offshore resources? Sure. The problem is we make a lot of money here compared to other countries. If you're able to get less valuable labor at a better cost, why not take advantage of it? I mean, so they can be criticized, sure, but everybody wants to make more money, and so does corporate America.
Well, isn't there also a dichotomy in that Americans certainly want to have well-paying jobs and have the jobs here in this country, but the flip side is they also are looking for a real good deal on certain products, and in order to get those deals, those products have to be manufactured overseas?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because, I mean, I can complain about IBM wanting, you know, moving me on or wanting me to either take a job in Iowa or, you know, leave IBM because they were looking to save money. But I also have IBM stock and I'm a shareholder. So when they make these moves, my stock goes up because they save money and their profitability is better. So that's a real dichotomy there. And when they are able to make a product for less money, see, it isn't so much the manufacturer cost because manufacturing cost is low. It's all the people in between, the manufacturer and the consumer, who add their markups along the way. Okay, it's all the marketing and all the advertising and distribution and all the warehousing and all those pieces in the middle. Because making a widget costs a dollar, and we wind up paying $50, $60, $70 for it. The profitability is really in the middleman. So while they'll blame a corporate, you know, entity, there's a lot of people, a lot of pieces that are involved in that cost that the end user uses.
You mentioned before continuing education, whether it's the Dale Carnegie courses or all the other courses you took. And I guess that's one of the ways that people have to succeed in this day and age, that education doesn't stop with college graduation or high school graduation, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was not a reader. I didn't enjoy doing it. I tell you, it was the Curious George novels. Sports Illustrated, and whatever book I had to read that day in order to take my test to get through college. I didn't enjoy it at all. Now what I'm doing is I read self-help books, I read management books, I read other things at least one a month, and I've done that for the last 20 years. And it's the differentiator in a lot of things I do. And what I see is a lot of people do come out of college and they go, okay, I'm done reading. Thank goodness I can just work now. And they realize that they're falling behind every day when they don't read something that's going to teach them something.
Is there one self-help book you could recommend?
How to Win Friends and Influence People or The Magic of Thinking Big. Those are the two classics in the world that I would say could help anybody. And what I do for the small business owner is I would read E-Myth Revisited because it talks about the 10 biggest mistakes that small business owners make.
Okay, and hopefully our audience is taking notes. Kevin O'Driscoll is our guest. A couple of more questions for Kevin. Kevin, why did you choose this particular career path? Any aha moment in your life that motivated you to choose the path you're currently on?
There was. I was working in corporate America at the time and working for IBM, doing my job and doing it well. And there was a shift in what they wanted to do, and they said, hey, you can move to Iowa or you can move on because we're moving these what you do to a central location, and we wanted you to fly all over the United States, you know, basically live out of a hotel 4 or 5 days a week. And I understood the model. It just wasn't for me. I had a mother-in-law that was had cancer. I had a sister who had cancer. I had a child who was pretty young. And they were living here in the Northeast. And I was sitting there kind of going, and I got married. Why? And that was the aha moment. It really was. So what I did was I left IBM. You know, IBM had a parting of ways. And as part of the transition, I was just going to go back and grow my consulting firm. I met with a lady who was part of a transition team, and she said, hey, Kev, you ever think about being a business coach? And I never heard of that term. And all I heard was life coach and other coaches. And that was not my personality. I didn't want to get involved in that, but she explained to me, again, somebody mentoring me to teach me about something. And I understood that what the knowledge I had, the experience I had, and the available training that was out there through different companies could put me in a position where I could do what I do now. And the enjoyment of helping a small business owner, or seeing a small business owner see the pressure coming off their back because they have somebody to talk to about a situation or help them through a situation, or and seeing them succeed and grow their business, every day I enjoy what I do because of that. It's every day is a new adventure for me. And while I'm not able to help as many people as I want to, because not everybody's ready right now, the ones I'm able to help, I really enjoy doing it.
In general terms, as a business owner in this day and age, today's environment, what are some of the challenges that you and business owners face and opportunities in this day and age?
How much time do we have? There's a lot of challenges today. Obviously, in Connecticut here, the economy's still, I would say, soft. We're not seeing enough of people spending money because there is still this fear of where the economy is going to go. The media is hoping that things change and keep on trying to find why it's not. But it doesn't seem to, you know, we hear about deficits and we hear about budgets and we hear about all these different things. So people are afraid to spend money. And that is the biggest problem in the economy I see today is the fear. Okay, there's always this hope that the new president is going to change something. But it comes down to if people are going to, they have to feel confident in what their economy is in order to spend money. And the small business owner hasn't been able to figure out how to make them feel confident that they're going to be there, that, you know, their job is going to be there. You know, I don't think the small business owner has a lot of control of it. It's, to be honest, to tell you the truth, it's just, I think it's media. And people listen to media, they read stuff all the time, and everything is doomsday. And that's the challenge I think most small businesses face. That, and they don't, a lot of big box stores are starting to steal their customers. I see a lot of small business owners going out of business. But I also see a lot of small businesses trying to start. And when they start, I think they need to take advantage of a lot of free resources out there that are available to them, whether it be through SCORE, whether it be through some other associations, that will, the WBDC for the small business owner, that's able to give them some free resources to help them get started, because they're going to be spending money the rest of their business ownership life. Take advantage of free stuff. Take advantage of stuff that is going to be valuable for them. And then be able to get some people, some advisors, hire the right advisors to help them through some of the things they don't know how to do. Don't try to do things you don't know how to do because you're cheap or you don't have the cash flow. If you don't have that cash flow, maybe it's not the right time to get in business for yourself. It's going to cost you more than you think it's going to. It's going to take longer than you think it's going to. And be aware of that when you're starting a business.
Is there a certain percentage when it comes to cash flow that a prospective business owner should put aside?
Twice as much as they think. You know, it really is, because there is cost associated with running business that they don't understand. Things cost more than they believe they do. Because in order to be competitive, they need to spend more money than what they're spending. They need to be able to get out there and buy things and share things and buy into tools, whether it's CRM tools or marketing tools or other things that are going to cost them on a monthly basis. People, you know, resources that they're going to need, and not as so much as employees, but, you know, they need to get a good website. They can't just go get a free website and think it's going to attract people. They can't do it. They need to hire somebody to do some basic stuff for them so that their website is professional looking. They need to hire good accounting people. They need to hire potentially a bookkeeper as they go down the road. And there's resources to get good people less expensively. Okay. There's a great company out in Oxford that does that kind of stuff that really helps some people to be able to connect people who are going into new careers with small business owners, and they're able to work with them. So there's plenty of resources out there. They have to take the time to find them, and then they can determine where the cost-effective ones are that are going to give them the best return on their investment.
And finally, Kevin, the best piece of business advice you were ever given.
The harder you work, the luckier you're going to be. So it's going to be hard work, and have a reality of that. Okay. You got in business for yourself to be your own boss. Now you can control your own destiny. It's not just going to happen. People aren't going to knock on your door. You got to go find them.
So it goes back to the old Branch Rickey line, if we're to borrow from a sports personality, and his famous line was, luck is the residue of design.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kevin, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our interview?
No, this was great. I appreciate Dan doing this. I hope that if people have some questions, ryybusinessgroup.com, my number's on there. Feel free to reach out. Doesn't cost you anything to ask a couple of questions, and there's a way I can help people. Love to do it.
Kevin O'Driscoll of RIY Business Group. And Kevin, thank you very much for being a guest on Front and Center.
Thank you, Dan. You have a great day.
You too.